potato battery. It sounds weird, but it's really cool. All you're going to need is two potatoes, a chopping board, a knife, four copper pennies, an LED light, four zinc washers, a multimeter, and some test leads. Now, because we're using a sharp knife in this experiment, make sure that you have an adult to help you out. Very carefully, cut each of the potatoes in half so that you end up with four sections. Once you've done that, put two of them aside and very carefully make two notches in each of the potato sections. You'll need these to insert your metal components. Once again, make sure you've got an adult to help you. Once that's done, place one of the zinc washers and one of the copper pennies into each of the potato sections. They should end up looking like little ears. Make sure that most of the metal is inside the potato. This will help your experiment. Once that's done, we can continue. Take one of your test cables, connect one end to the zinc washer and the other end to the copper penny in the other potato. Then take your meter, touch one cable to the copper penny and one cable to the zinc washer. If you look closely, you'll see that it conducts a current. We've got potato power! Why don't we connect a light to see if we can make it light up? Well, if we connect the LED light to some more cables, and then very carefully touch the other end onto the washer and the coin, you'll see that it glows very slightly. What could we do to make it glow more brightly? Well, why don't we try using two more potato pieces? What you need to do is reproduce the first part of your experiment again, so that each potato has a zinc washer and a copper coin in it. Then, using more cables, connect one coin to one washer in each potato. You should end up with what looks like a circuit, where each potato is joined together by one cable. You'll see now that all that's left for us to do is to close the circuit. Take your LED light, connect one end to the zinc washer and the other end to the copper coin. Now, if we switch the lights off, you'll see that the LED light is really glowing. Isn't that great? Who would have thought you could use a potato as a battery? Look at it go! And there you have it. That's how you can make your very own potato battery at home. How to calculate the height of any object. For this experiment, all you're going to need is a tape measure, a friend's hand, and any object. I've used a stool. It's a very simple piece of science. Let's go outside. The first step in the experiment is to have your friend place their hand in front of any object until it's exactly the same size. That means, in perspective, their hand and the object are the same height. If they turn their hand 90 degrees to the side, you can then place an object, in this case a stool, in the exact same position as the end of their hand, while they keep the other end in line with the bottom edge of the object. If they've kept their hand straight, and at exactly 90 degrees, this means that the distance from the object to your stool should be exactly the same height from the bottom of the object to the top. In this case, I've measured using steps. I took 14 steps, and we then measured my steps and discovered that they were 20 inches, or 51 centimeters. So if we do some simple maths, from the bottom to the top of the object, and from the bottom of the object to the stool, should be exactly the same distance. 14 paces, or to be more precise, if one pace equals 51 centimeters, then 14 paces equals 714 centimeters. So the tree is 7.14 meters high. And there you go. That's how you can calculate the height of absolutely any object using some very simple science. How you can conduct your own energy transfer experiment. It's a really fun little one that you can show your friends. All you're going to need is a tennis ball and a basketball. This is one that you need to do outside. So head outside with your tennis ball. The first thing is to drop the tennis ball. You'll see that it bounces a little bit and then stops, which isn't very fun. Then, if you take your basketball and drop that on the floor, again, it bounces a little bit and then stops, which is a bit boring. But if you place the tennis ball on top of the basketball, then drop them together, you'll see that the tennis ball flies off in a much wider arc. This is because both of the balls contain potential energy. When they hit the ground, it creates kinetic energy, and all of the energy in the basketball is transferred to the tennis ball, giving it more power to bounce further. Ooh, watch out! And there you have it. That's how you can perform your own energy transfer experiment. Coat hanger scales. It's an awesome experiment. And for this one, all you're going to need is some tape, a coat hanger, a pair of scissors, some string, and two plastic cups. Make sure you have a parent present while you perform the experiment. The first step is to cut two equal pieces of string. Put one of the pieces of string aside and take the other one. Then stick it very carefully onto the side of one of your cups. Once the string is stuck in place, turn the cup over onto its side and stick the other side of the string onto the opposite edge. Go around the top of the cup with some tape to make sure it's firmly in place. Once you've done this, repeat the process with the second cup so that you have two identical containers. Then very carefully, place them onto each end of your coat hanger. You'll see that it starts to look more like a pair of scales. Now we can start to do some measuring. Here I have a teaspoon and a tablespoon. They're made of the same material, but they're different sizes. If I place the teaspoon in, you'll see that it outweighs the empty cup. But if I place the tablespoon into the empty cup, you'll see that it easily outweighs the teaspoon. If I add another teaspoon into the first one, they almost balance out. This is because they have roughly the same mass. Now if I take a teaspoon and some cotton wool, the teaspoon outweighs the empty cup, and it also outweighs the cotton wool, because the cotton wool weighs less. If we place two identical eggs onto the scales, we'll see that one slightly outweighs the other. This is because they aren't exactly identical. Now, if we leave one of the eggs in and pour some water into the second cup, we'll see that as water gets added, it slowly goes down. This is because the weight of the cup is increasing. It also allows us to very gradually balance out the scales. Now, if we leave the water in one of the cups and slowly add rice into the other, will see that they start to level out. In this case, you'll see that the level of rice and the level of water are the same, but the water still outweighs the rice. So I have to keep adding rice in order to balance the scales. How much more rice do you think we'll need to add? Why don't you try weighing other household objects to see what you can measure? Homopolar motor. You're going to need some copper wire, a battery, some magnets, and a pair of pliers. The first step is to take your battery and your copper wire. You'll need to cut off a good length of the copper wire. We're using about 30 centimeters. Use the wire cutter piece of your pliers to trim the wire off. This might be a bit tricky, so it's best to get an adult to help you. Once that's done, fold your wire in half and use the pliers to bend the end tightly together. Then bend them back the same way again. Bend both pieces into a right angle. The easiest way to do this, and to make sure that it's equal, is to fold the pieces in half. This will help you check that you're bending them in the right place. You'll need to bend another right angle into the wire, just above the bottom of your battery. You'll need to make sure that the bottom line of your wire goes below the edge of your battery. Make sure that these pieces of wire overlap, and then bend a small circle into the end of each one. This will help it wrap around the edge of the battery. Then place some blue tack onto your counter, stack the magnets up, and add the battery. Carefully place your wire over the top of the battery, with the centerpiece lined up with the middle of your battery, and let go. You'll see that the wire rapidly starts to spin round. This is a really cool experiment to do. It works on a few different principles. What's happening here is that the battery is passing electricity through the copper wire. The copper wire is also in contact with the magnets. This creates an electromagnetic field. An electromagnetic field tends to move in one direction, so the wire travels in that direction. It's important that the wire is balanced, otherwise it will simply fall off to one side because it's too heavy. You can try a few different designs, such as this spiral design. You can see it's much harder to get it to stay in place. You could also try this apple-shaped design. I found that with this one, it starts to move very fast, very quickly, but it does fall out of place. And there you have it. That's how you can create a homopolar motor. Light writer. This is one of my favourite experiments, and it's really simple. What you're going to need is some sticky tape, a watch battery, an LED light, and a camera. The first step is to make your light. So take your LED light, connect it to the watch battery by putting one of the prongs on either side. If you turn the watch battery round, you'll see that it only works one way, so make sure you've put it in the right way round. Then take some of the sticky tape and use it to fasten the light in place. Once you've done that, it will stay lit. Make sure that you stick the tape down nice and firmly so that the light doesn't wobble. Once you've finished the experiment, you can turn the light off by removing the tape and separating the battery from the light. The next step is to have someone help you set the camera. You need to make sure it's set still and that you have a long exposure time. This means that the camera will absorb lots of light. If you watch what I'm doing,
I'm using my LED light to make shapes in the air. Once we turn out the lights, we'll see that you can follow the path of the light. On video, it doesn't look very impressive. You can see that my light is just moving around in the darkness. But once we take a look at the photo when it's developed, you'll see that the camera has recorded the whole path of the light. Isn't that great? You can make any shapes you like. Why don't you have a play and see what you can do with it? Why don't you try spelling out your name? Just have a try and see what you can do with the light. And there you have it. That's how you can make your very own light writer.
How to make your own electroscope. For this experiment, all you're going to need is a marker pen, scissors, tape, a jar, a straw, some foil, copper wire, plastic, a screwdriver, and some blue tack. The first step is to take your plastic and your jar, place the jar upside down on top of the plastic, and use the marker pen to draw the outline of the jar. Then use the scissors to very carefully cut out the circle that you've made. You need to make sure that the circle of plastic is just slightly bigger than the top of the jar. Then, using the screwdriver and the pair of scissors, you can very carefully make a hole in the centre of the card. Make sure that you get an adult to help you. It's important that the hole is just big enough for the straw to fit through. Once you've done that, fit the straw through and cut off the bendy end. Then use some of your blue tack to fix the straw in place. Once that's done, you can take your copper wire and cut a good length off. Once you've done this, take one end and very carefully start to loop it around. What you want to do is make a coil that looks a little bit like the shell of a snail. Then take your jar and make sure that you've got plenty of length left so that you can put the rest of the wire inside the jar. Once you've done this, fit the wire through the straw, place that to one side, then using the scissors, cut out a section of the tin foil, and very carefully, cut two teardrop-shaped pieces of foil. They'll be about the size of your thumb. Once you've done that, take your piece of copper wire, bend the other end over into a fish hook shape, and very carefully press the two pieces of foil onto the hooked end. You might need an adult to help you to do this. Once you've done that, they should sit next to each other. Now all that's left is to carefully place that on top of your jar and make sure that the two pieces of foil hang down nicely. Then use some of the tape to fasten the plastic lid onto the jar. Then carefully bend the wire to the side so that you can access it properly, and you're ready to do the experiment. Take a balloon or something else that holds a static charge, rub it against the jumper, and very carefully move it closer towards the copper wire. If you look inside the jar, you'll see that the two pieces of foil start to move away from each other. This is because the copper wire is conducting the static electricity from the balloon into the jar. The charge is then passed into the pieces of tin foil, which repel each other because they hold the same charge. Isn't that great? What other objects in the house hold a static charge? Why don't you go and find out? And that's how you can make your own electroscope at home. How to make your own periscope. This is an awesome experiment and I hope you enjoy it. For this experiment, you're going to need two cartons, a pair of scissors, two mirrors, some glue, and some tape. The first step is to take both of your cartons and to very carefully cut the top and the bottom ends off of the carton. Make sure that you have an adult present when you do this, as the scissors might be quite sharp. Once you've done this, you might need to give the cartons a bit of a clean. Once that's done, take one of the mirrors and line it up with the end of the carton, and very carefully cut into the carton at the same length as the mirror. Do this on all four edges of the carton. Once you've done that, fold down one side. And again, very carefully, cut off the flap. Now that you've done that, the mirror is ready to be stuck inside the opposite edge of the carton. Make sure that you do this to both cartons. Then very carefully, using some of the glue, stick the mirror to the inside of the opposite flap. Be very careful with the glue so that you don't get any on your fingers. You might need to push down on the mirror to make sure that it sticks to the inside of the carton. Give it a couple of minutes to make sure that it's nice and dry. You might like to get an adult to help you with this, as the edges of the mirror might be quite sharp. Once you've done that, take the two cartons and stick them end to end in opposite directions, so that the two mirrors are facing opposite ways. Very carefully, go around the join with some tape to make sure that they're stuck together nice and firmly. Once this is done, you're ready to go on. This is the most important part. Move the mirrors to a certain angle. It should be 45 degrees. Make sure that the two mirrors are parallel to each other. This will ensure that your periscope works properly. Once they're in position, you can finish making your periscope. Very carefully cut the other sides to fit, and using tape, stick it into place. If you like, you can tidy up the periscope a little bit, just to make it look even cooler. Now you can look into one end of the periscope and see what's on the other side. This works because light is reflected off one of the mirrors and down into the second mirror. By doing this, you can look over fences, over cars, and anything that gets in your way. And that's how you can make your own periscope.